The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante, and you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. And with me today is Steve Zielinski. He is a doctor of pharmacy, a PharmD. We just had a conversation about that on Facebook Live a moment ago. So if you get a chance, tag back to facebook.com/getrealtoheal and catch that. You always want to catch the fun before and after the show. But Dr. Zielinski here is, he's the owner of Colonial Village Pharmacy here in Webster Groves. And welcome to the show again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. The first time was a lot of fun talking on the radio for the first time, and it's kind of nice to be back.
We always have a good time.
Yes.
We always have a good time. Yes. I often, Steve is my pharmacist, and I often pop in and we just have interesting conversations, you know, on the spur of the moment. So it's kind of cool.
Yes.
We both nerd out on the same things.
Yes, we do.
So, all right. So today we are going to be talking about nutrient depletion as it relates to pharmaceuticals, correct?
Correct. Yes. That's what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. And I think it's a really important topic. So, you know, as you know, and you've been my pharmacist longer than you even realized you had been my pharmacist. We talked about
this
yesterday.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of side effects to these drugs that we take, right, to take care of certain issues. And some of those side effects are caused by nutrient depletion. Now, I wish that I would have known that years ago, because I was on a ton of medications. And then it was like I'd go into the doctor and I'd say, you know, I'm taking this, it's helping with XYZ, but now I've got this going wrong, right? And so they would give me another pill, which would be another prescription. And before you knew it, I had a total of about 18 of those. I had 18 of those at one point in time that were prescribed to me. And so, you know, I love that you are the type of pharmacist that will dig deeper for your clients and patients and actually look at ways to help them correct for the issues rather than just saying, yeah, okay, take that one more pill if maybe it's not necessary. So let's dive in today.
Well, first things, though, what you just said, something that I think about, too, is I wish I would have known that a long time ago, too. Like that, you know, I do have 6 years of pharmacy school, but we'd never talked about that. We did talk about side effects, but we never really talked about what caused the side effects. So that was really interesting to me too.
Yeah, definitely. And what a world of difference it can make. And actually some of those diseases that I was diagnosed with were simply a result of nutrition depletion or inadequate nutrition in the first place. And so taking that extra pill that then further depleted other nutrients was really not helping me in the long run. So I'm really glad that you do this. So what is nutrient depletion? Just to start off there.
So just in general, nutrient depletion just really means basically is that your body doesn't have enough of a specific nutrient to function properly or optimally, if you want to take it that far. So that's all nutrient depletion is. Your body requires nutrients. It doesn't require medications, believe it or not.
Right.
You
mean nobody has a Xanax deficiency? That's not a...
Well, it depends if you're the drug company.
You were born that way? No.
I mean, if you're an insurance company, then yes. Uh-huh. If you're a drug company, yes. You were born with that. But for most people, no.
Right. Yeah, it just makes sense. Yeah. I don't think... Mother Nature designed us a certain way, and that wasn't it. All right. So talk about a little bit about prescription versus non-prescription nutrient depletion.
Okay. There's a very thin line there, because most over-the-counter medications, as I call them, or non-prescription medications, were at one point or another a prescription drug. So when you think about it, a lot of people think, well, if it's over-the-counter or I don't need a prescription for it, that must mean it's safer. Well, that's true to a certain extent, but there's still opportunities where if something's over-the-counter and we're taking it chronically, and you can't put a chemical in your body day in, day out for 20 or 30 years without having an effect. I mean, you do coaching in food, right? So same thing, right? You can't put glucose or sugar into your body every single day in more excessive amounts than your body can handle without it causing an effect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
So yeah, it's all about balance.
So what's the difference between sugar and a medication? They're both chemicals, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference. So when you look at it that way, whether it's a prescription or non-prescription, it's really easy to understand, right? Like sugar, it's, you know, caffeine, alcohol. These are all things that, yes, they're not a prescription, but they can cause harm or do something different to the body than the body and more than what the body can handle. So, and in so many different ways. So I think when we apply it to over-the-counter medications or prescription medications, we need to see it the same way, right? So, I mean, if you eat a lot of candy bars, right, it's going to cause an effect on your body. Well, if you take medications a lot, like most people do in America, because we don't have a system where you're supposed to get off of it. That's not a good business plan if you're a drug company, right? It's not good. I mean, if you have insurance and you don't take medications, what value do you provide the shareholders of the insurance companies or the drug companies? So I think, you know, what we don't learn or what we haven't seen is how do you get off of your medications?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's not something that's discussed rarely. I know in my own health journey with seeing dozens and dozens of doctors over the years, I don't think that was ever brought up until I started seeing a functional and integrative doctor. Now, with some exception, right, you know, prednisone, certain drugs like that, most of the time there's an end in sight, or at least they assume that as soon as we get to a certain point, you'll go off of that medication.
But once again,
you're going to be cycled on and off of it forever.
Okay, let's take prednisone, for example.
That's a great one. I would love for you to
touch on that. Or antibiotics for those two. Mm-hmm. You know, those are things that people go on and they stop. Why is that? It's because they're so strong that if you took them longer, it would cause more harm than good. That's why you stop them. That's why they stop for seven days. That's why you take a titrating dose of methylprednisolone or a Medrol dose pack or prednisone. Because if you stopped it, it would cause more problems than the drug was worth taking in the first place.
Absolutely. And so where my mind goes, though, and honestly, antibiotics, I kind of thought, you know, went without saying, but it makes, yeah, no, that's absolutely true. I think that, you know, so many times, though, whenever we talk about antidepressants or we talk about pain medications or we talk about so many of these other medications that have become really just commonplace in our society, whereas when you go overseas, by the way, not commonplace in those societies, the majority of them, at least based on my travel experiences. But it's the end isn't discussed. It's just you're going to go on this medication and there may be side effects of this medication, so you may need more medications.
Well, and they tell you the side effects, and that's what we were taught in school. I mean, that's exactly how traditional pharmacy practices. Like, that's how you're supposed to do it. I mean, Oberon 90 came out, a law that came out said pharmacists were required to counsel the patients. And they gave us a list of things that we had to counsel on every new medication or even on your refill medications. But that's where it stopped. So I'm supposed to warn somebody that you could have low blood pressure. I'm supposed to tell you that you might feel dizzy when you stand up with the blood pressure medication. I'm supposed to tell you that you could have an upset stomach when you take this. So take this with food. But if it's causing an upset stomach, if it's causing you to feel dizzy, then that means it's having an effect on your body.
Right.
And these drugs aren't always as specific to hit one receptor or where it's supposed to work at without hitting other receptors. So when you hit a receptor, for example, you know, a key in a door, right? You put a key into a door, it opens the door, right? But it didn't just turn the lock. It allowed you to open the door and cause the other chain of reactions when you open the door. The hinges had to move. The door had to move. Everything had to move. So when you think about a drug and you put that into the body, the same thing kind of has to happen within a chemical reaction within the body.
Okay. Now that makes sense. All right. So, you know, moving back to this, so we've talked a little bit about, you know, nutrient depletion. We've touched on some common medications throughout this conversation thus far. You know, I guess a good place to start is with those over-the-counter medications that people can just get their hands on and take really readily. And one that comes to mind, of course, is antacids. I know my husband used to pop those like candy, as did I, unknowingly doing all kinds of damage to my gut, which then cascaded into other issues.
Yeah. And, you know, short term, are they going to cause any problems? No.
Right.
antacids, for example. So we're talking about things like Gaviscon, Maalox, some things that contain like aluminum or magnesium. So these chemicals are designed to prevent acid levels from rising in your stomach and you don't have upset stomach, or prevent diarrhea, or prevent like other problems like constipation. So it goes both ways. So depending on how you're using it, so you're trying to affect the motility of the stomach with these medications, but you're also changing the acid balance in your stomach. And a lot of nutrients like calcium or like phosphorus or magnesium require acid levels to be higher than what's there if it's always blocked. So like short term, not a problem at all. Like, you know, even like, but like, let's take it one step further and let's say like that antacid doesn't work. Well, what happens if we use something like Pepcid or Zantac, right? Now we're blocking acid secretion partially. So now we're still changing the acid levels in the stomach. So calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, they don't get absorbed. So what's the downside effect of that? Or what happens when somebody goes on a Prilosec or Nexium? Let's say like they took that Famotidine or Pepcid all the time, mm-hmm. for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It didn't work. Okay. Well, then they try a Prilosec, or they ask their doctor for something stronger. And what do they get? Prilosec, Nexium, Pepcid. And what does this do? This completely blocks all the acid secretion in the stomach. So then what happens? So then how do you absorb calcium and magnesium if it's just in your diet?
Yeah. 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 Well, okay. And so what's the answer?
Well, not so much the answer, but what should people kind of be worried about,
right,
then?
What's the solution?
So first of all, it's like, I mean, if people aren't scared or they don't realize there's an issue, nobody wants to fix it. So, but what happens is now we see men, for example, have a higher incidence of osteoporosis. You know, how much more common do people have like stuff that you look at, like, you know, what SIBO or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, but how many times are they actually on a proton pump inhibitor or an H2 blocker or an antacid chronically, and then it comes up?
Right.
You know, why is there an increased risk of community-acquired C. difficile colitis in patients that are on these medications? That should be the fear. Like, I mean, nobody's scared to get osteoporosis. They're scared to fall and break a bone, right? And I think that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. No, that's a really great point. Absolutely. Whenever you talk about antibiotics and some of the side effects with nutrient depletion with those, kind of dive in and talk about that, because I know a lot of people are concerned about antibiotics in general. There are so many different concerns around those, and this certainly adds another layer to be aware of.
Yeah, I think with antibiotics, you need to look at different classes of antibiotics, and not every antibiotic depletes the same. So you can't apply the same thing. So for example, like your penicillins or amoxicillins, those are going to deplete your bacteria, you know, killing off bad bacteria, which is good. That's what we want to happen. But you're also killing off the good bacteria too. But you're also depleting your B1, your B2, B3, B6, B12, and vitamin K. And then if you look at like tetracyclines, like doxycycline, minocycline, things that even like kids can use for acne. So they might be using it every day for acne, right? So you're depleting your biotin, your inositol, your iron, B1, B2, B3, B6, B12, and vitamin K. So it's not just taking a probiotic sometimes. That's enough to replenish that if you're taking it chronically. Like we just mentioned, like acne, for a good example, you don't take that for 14 days and stop it. You take it for a whole month.
Right, right. Right, right, absolutely. Or myself with rheumatic fever, I was treated with penicillin for 5 years daily.
And so it's just, and how does that have an effect on your stomach? I mean, so if you look at what's always interesting to me is the symptoms, the side effect symptoms, and then like the symptoms of the nutrient depletion. And when you match those two together, it's like a light bulb goes off and it's like, oh, this is why somebody's having this. This is what's happening. This. So that's why I love nutrient depletion so much, is because it, like, I can actually fix problems or prevent them in advance.
Yeah. Okay. So someone comes in, like say like I came in and said, hey, you know, I've got to be, you know, Dr. Steve, I've got to be on penicillin for 5 years for rheumatic fever. Would you at that point then say, okay, great. And in that counsel with that client, would you then talk about, how would you venture into this?
Well, I think everybody's different. So I don't know if I'd treat every single person the same because, I mean, everybody's unique. Everybody's GI, stomach, it's all going to be different. So I would warn them about the side effects up front, you know, and knowing that they're going to need it for 5 years, that's a long time. I'd probably recommend a multivitamin and not just a probiotic, and then use a probiotic if needed, and maybe prebiotics as well. So, I mean, if you're taking it long term, I mean, I think like penicillin, those B vitamins are going to be important. So what happens? What are the symptoms of B vitamin depletions or B vitamin depletions, right? It's anemia, right? So you see numbness and tingling. So that's another class. So if people take diabetic medications like metformin, it's right in the package insert that it's going to deplete the B vitamins. So I'm going to recommend B vitamins to them. But the same thing could happen with antibiotics too.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought up metformin. That's been coming up in conversation a lot lately. So yeah, vitamin B12 with that is what your notes had said, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And some of the side effects of being low on B12 are?
Anemia. I mean, that's the biggest one.
So, and you said, so the tingling and things like that.
That's the biggest one people complain about. They have anemic. I mean, it's anemia. It's a B12.
Straight up.
Anemia.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a whole other disease state.
Yeah.
So, but then now they want to, you need to treat the anemia. Or okay. If you're diabetic, maybe it's called diabetic neuropathy. But, you know, so like you get numbness and tingling from diabetes, right? And we were taught that it was always, and I'm not saying that it's not neuropathy. I'm not saying it's not a B12 depletion, but wouldn't that be an easy way to try to fix it first before you needed another medication like gabapentin or Lyrica?
And that's why I wanted to ask, because I think a lot of times people think of, okay, well, you know, I must be low on B12 because I'm tired, but they don't necessarily take it that next step and make the connection.
Well, it's
anemia related to B. And I
there's never been a connection though. I mean, it's in the package insert, but we weren't taught that in pharmacy school. Like, I mean, we're supposed to be the experts. I mean, I had 6 years of schooling and I didn't learn this in pharmacy school. Like I have a doctor in front of my name that says I'm a doctor of pharmacy, yet this wasn't talked about.
And it, you know, it comes up in, you know, so I'm blessed to get to have conversations like this with a lot of doctors of different types. Mm-hmm. Shocking to me, really, really, now that I know, you know, a little bit more about how everything works, right? The kind of the theory of everything, if you will, and functional and integrative side of things. The fact that you're not trained in that really boggles my mind.
And for the most people, their mind won't be boggled because they're not going to be exposed to this. Like, I was fortunate enough to be in a position where I wanted to get into nutrition and vitamins because people are asking me about it. But I wanted to make sure people felt different. I didn't want to recommend something that wasn't going to work. I mean, that's just like giving a medication for diabetes. You know, I'm not going to give somebody metformin for high blood pressure. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to work. So same thing with supplements or vitamins. Like, I wanted to use good, high-quality vitamins that actually got absorbed that could actually be a benefit to people. Because, I mean, I experimented with cheap vitamins and stuff, and they didn't work. And I couldn't even give them away. And, you know, but then when people started taking these and start, like, the B vitamins especially, people felt better, and they were getting better. Yeah. And that's all. It was just that simple.
Oh, and absolutely. It's got to be really fascinating to watch that happen. And it's got to feel good. It's a very different way of approaching pharmacy.
It feels really good. I mean, to know that, like, you can make a difference like that, where, like, you take a medication and you take it every single day like you're supposed to, but you still get worse. Why? How can that be? How can you take a medication every single day just like your doctor told you? They warn you about the side effects. You go to the pharmacy. They tell you about the side effects. You take the medication like you're supposed to. And let's say it's like for blood pressure, right? And then it depletes your CoQ10 or your B vitamins again, right? So this happens again and your blood pressure. What's the symptoms of CoQ10 depletion or coenzyme Q10? Well, if you don't have enough, your blood pressure goes up. So when you're in your 50s and you're getting older and you're just natural declining of CoQ10 levels, that's one of the main symptoms is high blood pressure. So if you're taking a medication for high blood pressure that depletes CoQ10, I mean, it's going to keep going up. So if you put somebody on CoQ10, they don't need higher doses of their blood pressure medication.
That makes sense. Okay, I just jotted a note. I've got someone I need to call.
Because how many people do you know that take their blood pressure medication every single day but need another additional medication for blood pressure?
I know of at least two off the top of my head, yes.
There you go.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. All right, so, all right, let's back this up. We could fall down rabbit holes all day long.
Yeah.
So talking about folic acid is especially interesting to me because I have the MTHFR genetic mutation we've talked about in the show several times before, so I won't dive. We don't have to fall down that rabbit hole too far. Folks can go back to soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal and check on the episodes we did with Dr. Emily Hecker. Also, I think Dr. Seth Gerlach and a couple of others have touched on that topic. But essentially, it has to do with methylation, and it affects your body's ability to use folic acid, correct?
Yes.
We want to nutshell.
And why? And so why do you think that's important? Why is it important to you?
Yeah. Well, it's important to me because I've noticed, so I used to struggle with mental health. That was a major issue for me. You know, I also struggled with several different autoimmune diseases. And what I noticed was once I found out that I had this MTHFR issue and an inability to adequately process and use folic acid in my body, folate, and we could maybe talk about the differences between those two terms. I would love to know your take on that. But basically, once I was put on a prescription strength methylated folate, so methylated version of folic acid, so that my body didn't have to do that work of converting it, it was just done for me, it really changed everything. You know, no anxiety, depression issues since doing that, and a couple of other dietary modifications. And then, you know, additionally, my autoimmune diseases, everything improved. Blood work got fantastically better. Homocysteine levels were better. Everything was just better. So I know the importance of folic acid because I've experienced what it can be to be depleted in it mentally and physically. So that's why that one's important to me. And I hope I did a good job of nutshelling that without diving in too much.
No, I think that's perfect because without the methylation process working, so methylation, we're talking about that's actually affects two different things, the mental health aspect and our memory and cognition, and it also affects our ability to remove toxins from our system, right? So it's in your liver. Your liver is really responsible for methylation, and that's the first part of detox. So when you're going through a detoxification pathway, if you can't methylate something, you can't remove it from your body. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's a really important issue for a lot of people because like when I'm working with women for hormone replacement therapy, for example, they can't methylate, then it makes hard. You can't, how do you detoxify the estrogens that need to get out of the system? You can't. It takes a longer time to do that. So what happens is if you're on estrogens or something like that, or anything else that needs to be metabolized through the liver, that's, you know, at higher levels that is toxic to the body, it's a bad thing. Makes sense, right?
Absolutely.
So, and you experienced that yourself. You couldn't methylate. So like, you know, and then there's other SNPs that, so MTHFR is one. And another one that, you know, for example, like I'll touch on just briefly is COMT SNPs. COMT is something that, you know, I actually found out that I had, which was really interesting. So go back to B vitamins. So I was telling everybody, you need your B vitamins. And everybody was taking, a lot of people were coming in, purchasing them and repurchasing them and telling their friends, like they felt better. They had more energy, like their numbness and tingling went away, like all that kind of stuff. So it was really good. So then I tried taking it. Didn't work for me. I was getting side effects. So why was that? So what I found out is even though like these supplements, you know, that I use and recommend, they get absorbed, they don't work for everybody. Everybody's different. Like, so for me, methylcobalamin or activated B vitamins doesn't work for me. So same like thing with you with the folic acid. So, you know, I put myself through that. I did my research and I found out that it wouldn't work for me. So while I think it's great people take B vitamins and stuff like that, but just realizing that some people it's not going to work for.
Yeah. So, I mean, bottom line, at the end of the day, if you're on medications long term or whether they're prescription or they're over the counter, it's really important to be talking with a pharmacist who has done the additional work to get trained and learn and understand that some of these side effects that people are dealing with could really be something like nutrient depletion going on, right? And So yeah, I guess what I'm saying is they should probably be coming to Steve Zielinski
absolutely.
At Colonial Village Pharmacy in Webster Groves.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I just think it's important because I think we get into a habit, so to speak, of taking medications and we take them and we think we're getting better all the time. And I'm not saying drugs are bad. they serve their purpose. And they, you know, acutely, we have a great system.
But certainly. Without penicillin, I would not be here to do this interview.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So I'm not anti.
But when it comes to chronic use of medications on a daily basis that somebody has to take for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 35, 40, 50 years, that changes the body. And I think at that point, you know, it's important. So I guess that's just the main thing I focus on at my pharmacy is that if you're going to take something for 50 years, why not know everything about it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I wish we had time to dive in a little bit more because, yeah, where I was going with folic acid is at that time I was taking all of these other over-the-counter things to, you know, everything was depleting. We're going to have to do this again. How can people find you?
So if you visit our website at colonialvillagerx.com, you can find us there. We actually have a blog where you can learn more about our nutrient depletion program. And I go into more details on the blog there. And in Webster Groves, we're over in Big Bend. And you can walk in anytime and bring your questions.
Yeah, you're great about that. Thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. So this is Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. For more information or to contact me, find me online at amandalaplante.com or on facebook.com/getrealtoheal. You can also follow me on Instagram at getrealtoheal and reach out to me anytime for a consultation at 314-583-6749. Make it a great day.